Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Turkey, and more specifically, the Turkish lira. If you follow the channel, you'll know that we've been looking at Turkey in some detail over the last few months, and I've been concerned that Turkey is a net importer, and the biggest items that it's dependent upon are oil and natural gas. And the price of both of those commodity items has risen dramatically since the start of the Ukraine war. So this has been putting a lot of pressure onto the Turkish economy at a time when Turkey was already in a relatively fragile position. And in 2021, we saw the value of the Turkish lira fall by 44%. And at the start of 22, it looked like the lira had started to stabilise, but over the last couple of weeks, we have started to see a further deterioration. So in this video, we'll look at exactly what's been going on with the lira and explain why that is happening. We'll also talk about the NATO situation. As a result of what's happening in Ukraine, both Sweden and Finland have decided to apply for NATO membership. And to be approved, they need unanimous consent from all 30 members. And Turkey has come out with opposition against that. So we'll have a look into what's going on, why Turkey are opposed to Finland and Sweden joining, and what the likely outcome is. We'll also talk about an interesting development with regards to a potential to provide gas directly from Israel to Turkey, and also have a look at what's been happening to house sales in Turkey, because there has been a big increase in the number of foreign buyers, and we'll have a look into why that situation is occurring. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen to Turkey over the next 3 to 6 months, and what the implications of that are for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and YouTube Super Thanks feature. This time last year, the Turkish lira was trading at a value of around 8.5 to 1 US dollar. And at that time, the rate of inflation in Turkey was around about 17%. In the second half of 2021, a decision was taken in Turkey to turn conventional wisdom on its head and start to reduce interest rates at a time of extremely high inflation. The official rate of interest was reduced from 19% to 14% over the course of a few months, and this had a disastrous impact on both the rate of inflation in the country, but also on the value of the Turkish lira. The international markets were highly concerned by this new economic strategy, and the value of the lira crashed to around 17 lira to 1 US dollar. The Turkish central bank stepped into the international markets and used billions of its reserves of foreign currency to support the lira and stabilise the price at around 13.5 lira to $1 at the start of 2022. As I mentioned at the start of the video, Turkey is a net importer of goods, which means that it is buying more from the international markets than it's selling to them. And as a result of that dynamic, the balance of trade in Turkey runs at a deficit. And this has been the situation for a long period of time in Turkey. But the biggest issue for Turkey is the makeup of the imports that it is buying. The biggest category of imports by a significant margin is energy products. Turkey buys a lot of oil and natural gas, which it needs to fuel its economy and also to create electricity. In 2021, the total value of all energy products that Turkey purchased was $51 billion. And if we look at what's happened to the price of oil and natural gas since the start of the Ukraine war, we can see why there is a major problem in Turkey right now and why there are significant issues with regards to the Turkish lira. At the end of 2021, oil was trading for around $75 per barrel. The price today is closer to $115, which means that we've seen an increase of more than 50% in the price of oil. And we've got a similar situation for natural gas. On the 31st of December, the price of natural gas in Europe was trading at around 70 euros, and today the price is trading at around 100 euros. So if we apply a 50% increase in the price of energy costs that Turkey's having to pay out to the $50 billion that it paid in 2021, we're looking now at an annualized bill of around $75 billion for Turkey. And the problem that Turkey has is that all of these payments need to be made in foreign currency. The international market for energy is traded in either US dollars or euros. Now, obviously, there's been some movements recently from President Putin demanding that gas is paid for in rubles, but that's only for unfriendly nations. And Turkey is not classified as an unfriendly nation, so they're not having to pay in rubles. But the issue would be exactly the same if they were. It's not Turkish lira that they can pay in. They still have to find currency from somewhere. And this is a big problem for Turkey. Firstly, because they need to have currency reserves. And secondly, it's reducing the demand for Turkish lira and meaning that it's needing to buy in the international markets. And that's applying downward pressure on the Turkish lira. This chart shows the movement of the Turkish lira over the last month. You can see that there's been a significant deterioration in value. A month ago, one US dollar was equivalent to 14.6 Turkish lira. The exchange rate is now closer to 16 lira to $1. And the reasons for this deterioration are twofold. Firstly, the huge outflows of currency that Turkey are currently experiencing as a result of having to keep buying in oil and natural gas in the international markets at a time when the price of those commodities has gone up dramatically. So this has been a huge drain on the Turkish reserves. And the secondary factor, which is directly related to that drain on reserves, is that the Turkish central bank no longer has sufficient cash to be able to keep supporting the value of the lira. So over the last 6 months or so, the Turkish central bank has been buying in the international markets to make sure that the exchange rate stayed at around about 14 lira to $1. But as the reserves have dwindled, they haven't been able to keep doing that. And now we're seeing the value starting to fall dramatically as a result of them not supporting the price. The fall in the value of the Turkish lira will be bad news for the Turkish economy and its ongoing problems with inflation. The official rate of inflation jumped to a two-decade high of 70% in April. However, the underlying situation is actually significantly worse than that. Consumer prices month on month increased 7.25%. And obviously, if you annualize 7.25%, it is significantly higher than 100% because of the compounding nature of inflation. And the rampant inflation that Turkey's experiencing right now is having a devastating effect on all of its population, because the items that are increasing the most in price are those that everybody has to buy on a daily basis. The figures for energy were not broken out specifically, but the increase in transportation costs over the last 12 months is disclosed as 106%, and obviously that carries a large amount of the fuel costs. In addition to that massive increase in energy prices, the price of food has increased by 89% over the last 12 months. And of course, transportation, energy costs, and food are something that affects everybody, including the very poorest people in Turkey. And the latest falls in the value of the Turkish lira is going to make the situation much worse, because all of the consumers in Turkey are officially paying for things in Turkish lira, and anything that they need to import, such as energy and food, because Turkey is a major importer of wheat, which is used to produce flour, which is used to produce bread, and Turkey has a very high consumption of bread per capita, then all of those prices will go up dramatically, because those commodities are having to be purchased in the international markets in dollars or euros, and the fall in the value of the Turkish lira means that on a like-for-like basis, everything will cost more. But at the same time as that fall in the value of the lira, we're also seeing prices starting to increase in the international markets. So it's a double whammy for Turkey. This is an absolute nightmare for them. So issues that we saw just recently, such as India placing an outright ban on all wheat exports, has increased the price of wheat further. And so that's going to put even more pressure on both the Turkish economy and the Turkish lira. As a direct result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Sweden and Finland have now officially applied to join NATO. And NATO, if you're not familiar, is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and is an alliance of 30 countries, which is 28 European countries, plus the USA and Canada, that has been established to guarantee the freedom and security of its members through political and military means. The NATO website states that it promotes democratic values and enables members to consult and cooperate on defence and security-related issues to solve problems, build trust, and in the long run, prevent conflict. NATO is committed to the peaceful resolution of disputes, but if diplomatic efforts fail, it has the military power to undertake crisis management operations. These are carried out under the Collective Defence Clause of NATO's founding treaty. So by joining NATO, it means that Sweden and Finland would have the support of all of those 30 countries in the event of some form of military conflict with Russia. And Sweden and Finland have both grown increasingly concerned over the last 6 months or so about Russia's intentions, particularly as Finland has an 800-mile border with Russia. This application by both countries to join NATO is a concern. Firstly, because one of the issues that triggered the invasion of Ukraine was Ukraine's interest in joining NATO. And now we've got a situation whereby another country that has a border with Russia is now making an official application. And President Putin has come out over the last week and stated that Finland would be making a mistake if it decides to join NATO. Now, any new applicant to join NATO needs to receive unanimous approval, so all 30 nations need to vote in favour. And as it stands at the moment, Turkey have stated that they are not supportive of Sweden and Finland joining. And President Erdogan of Turkey has stated that both Finnish and Swedish delegations should not bother coming to Ankara to convince it to approve their NATO bids. In a news conference, he repeated that Turkey would not approve the bids to join NATO, calling Sweden a hatchery for terrorist organisations and adding it had terrorists in its parliament. Neither of these countries have a clear, open attitude towards terrorist organisations, he said. How can we trust them? On the same day, Turkish Foreign Minister slammed Finland and Sweden for not extraditing suspects wanted in Turkey, despite requests to do so. Turkey has requested the repatriation of 33 individuals that it says are linked directly to the 2016 coup attempt against President Erdogan's regime. So this is a really interesting development because Sweden and Finland are obviously concerned about national security. That's why they want to join NATO. Russia is not happy that both of these countries that are situated very close to Russia want to join NATO because they claim that it then gives NATO the possibility of making strikes against Russia from its borders. And so we've got a situation that's very, very tense politically. And Turkey, who have remained entirely neutral throughout the Ukraine war, they still have open relations with Russia and have not applied any sanctions against them at all, and have now come out and opposed both of these countries joining into the NATO alliance. Now, it remains to be seen whether or not Turkey will actually veto this application. In the past, when countries have opposed other nations joining, there's usually been a resolution agreed. So maybe Turkey are looking to leverage this situation to get those 33 individuals that they want repatriated back to Turkey as part of a deal to be done. But it will be very interesting to see how this situation unfolds and whether or not Turkey take a hardline stance or whether this is just a bit of posturing. Turkey has a high reliance on natural gas, both for the production of electricity, but also for the supply to industry and consumers in the country. And as it doesn't have enough natural gas reserves itself, it has to import that gas. And around 45% of all gas that it buys comes directly from Russia via pipelines. Now, as I mentioned, Turkey is remaining neutral with regards to its relationship with Russia, so it doesn't have to worry about buying gas in the future. However, this war has highlighted the fact that if you have a high dependence on the supply of gas from one particular country, and then you fall out with that country or you have some sort of issue with them, then you've got a major problem. And Turkey is now looking into all of the options as to how it can get a better balance on the supply of its natural gas. Israel has large gas fields and has just announced that it wants to double the supply of gas that it exports from 20 billion cubic meters to 40 billion cubic meters. And Turkey and Israel have been in discussions for a long period of time about the possibility of building a pipeline directly from the Israeli gas fields to Turkey. The pipeline itself would be run under the ocean and would be around 250 miles long and cost $1.5 billion to build. And this is seen as being an attractive option compared with the 6 billion euro cost of a pipeline directly to Cyprus, Greece and Italy. However, the main obstacle to building this is that the subsea pipeline would need to cross waters of either Cyprus, which Turkey does not recognise as an international country, or Syria, which Turkey has no diplomatic relations with at the moment due to the fact that it's been backing rebels against the current government. So as with a lot of other projects of this nature, the economics stack up, but it's the politics that are causing a problem right now. However, over the last 12 months or so, we've seen Turkey turn around what looked like an impossible relationship with a variety of countries. So it's not impossible to think that this pipeline could get agreed from a political perspective and could get put in place at some point over the next 18 months or so. One benefit that the falling value of the Turkish lira provides is that it means property becomes much cheaper for overseas buyers. And the sale of property in Turkey is currently booming, and in April there was a 39% rise in house sales. And if you've been following the channel, you'll know that overseas buyers can actually gain Turkish citizenship by buying property in Turkey. The sale of properties to foreigners rose 58% in April, and not surprisingly, Russian citizens were top of the list, buying 1,152 houses in April compared with 547 that they bought in March. The next two highest ranked nationalities for buying property were Iranians and Iraqis. So this is another interesting example of how the war in Ukraine is influencing what's happening around the world. We're seeing a mini boom in house sales in Turkey, partly because of the fall in the value of the lira and partly because of the schemes that they have in place to offer foreign nationals citizenship. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, as we've discussed before, Turkey is a net importer of goods. So that means that it's buying more than it's selling. And that always puts pressure on the local currency. And we've seen over the last 12 months a huge deterioration in the Turkish lira. This time a year ago, you could buy one US dollar for around 8 Turkish lira. The situation today is that it will cost you closer to 16 Turkish lira. So that means that anything that you're buying in the international markets has doubled in price from a local currency perspective. But the problem that Turkey has on top of that is that the majority of the things that it's buying in the international markets, which are oil, gas, and food products, have all increased around 50% since the start of the Ukraine war. So when you combine those two factors of increasing international prices and falling value of currency, it means that everything is costing a lot more for your people. And that's showing the current rate of 70% inflation in Turkey. But the problem that Turkey has is that 70% will not be where the inflation rate caps out, because the war is continuing. The price of commodities is increasing. We saw that just recently when India, who the international markets were hoping were going to be able to fill some of the gap that was left from Ukraine and Russia in the wheat markets, announced that they were pulling out of all exports. They're no longer exporting any wheat. And that caused the price of wheat to increase further. And it's likely that as we see more shocks over the next few months, that the price of all these items will go up more. So Russia recently switched off gas supplies to Poland and Bulgaria. And following on from that, we saw Ukraine intercept one of the pipelines and switch off the supply because they were concerned that Russian forces were using that gas for their benefit. And so over the next few months, it's very likely that we could see gas being switched off in some of the major countries in Europe, and that will drive up the price of gas further. And we've got a similar situation with regards to oil. The EU wants to ban the purchase of all Russian oil. There is some objection to that at the moment because of the chaos that it will cause. But the bottom line is that the price of oil and gas and food items is likely to keep bouncing higher over the next few months. And all of that is really bad news for Turkey. Turkey's already got very limited amounts of foreign currency reserves, and it just isn't selling enough exports to be able to bring in more. They've introduced a variety of schemes whereby they've asked the population of Turkey to hand over their foreign currency. They've asked the companies of Turkey to do so. And they're offering things like citizenship to foreign buyers of property. So all of these things have been helping to keep some currency coming in. But the value that those schemes are adding is starting to dwindle. So Turkey's now running out of currency at a time when everything's getting more expensive and it needs to keep those purchases going, but it has to keep its industry trading and electricity flowing. So there's a real problem in Turkey right now. And as the currency reserves have started to fall over the last month or so, we've seen the Turkish central bank unable to support the value of the lira. So it's likely that over the next 3 to 6 months, we'll see the lira value falling further, and that's going to put even more pressure on inflation in the country. And this is at a time when Turkey decided that it wanted to reduce interest rates rather than increasing interest rates to reduce inflation. So the likelihood is that over the next 3 to 6 months, we will see more pressure put on the lira and inflation will rise higher. And that's going to put further pressure on the Turkish economy as a whole. So the obvious solution for Turkey is that it will need to borrow more money. It will need to have more debt. And it's been putting in place sukuk bonds with the UAE and other Arab nations, and it may well decide to do more of that, or it may decide that it wants to do more currency swaps. But the bottom line is that Turkey will be getting more and more into debt, and there doesn't look like any end in sight. There is no obvious solution that would give Turkey a huge amount of capital to be able to pay off that debt and put its balance of trade back into a positive situation. So the situation's looking pretty grim and bleak for Turkey over the next 3 to 6 months. And unfortunately, the situation for the global economy is similar, because the high price of energy and commodities is going to hurt every single nation around the world. So the longer that this war goes on in Ukraine, the higher the likelihood is of a global recession. I've said it before, but it continues to be true that if this war goes on for the rest of 2022, then there is no doubt that the world economy is heading for a major recession. So hopefully you've enjoyed the content today. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.